right, LifePoint Church, how are we doing today? All right, I guess we can do that too. Hope everyone is having a great, great week. I hope you had a great 4th of July week and have enjoyed fireworks until like 10 o'clock for like, 8 days straight, because, why not, right? I mean, it seems to be getting longer and longer every year. So, but yeah, I hope you had a great week, a safe 4th of July, and we're glad that you're here with us at LifePoint Church and hanging out this day and choosing to spend time in this church community. So thank you so much for being here. My name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the lead pastor, and man, again, just so thankful to have you here. So today, we are going to continue on, actually wrap up our current message series titled, The Truth Is, You Can't. And I know that kind of sounds right out the gate negative, but it's really not. It's really a good thing because there's many things that, honestly, we can't do. Many things that we are not designed or created to do, but yet we try to take it on, or that it's truth, but it's manipulated truth, and it becomes toxic in our lives. And that's what we've talked about in this series. And today, as we wrap this thing up, we're going to focus on one thing that I believe many of us struggle with. I know I do personally pretty greatly, but it's that the truth is that you can't do it all. Like, you can't do it all. And in reality, many of us, if we were being honest, we're doing way, way more than we probably ever should, right? We are constantly consumed, busy. We're just doing so much, and it leaves us stressed out, exhausted, and at times just completely overwhelmed, which then results in us being in a hurry, like 24/7. We're always rushing around, we're always hurried, and we're stressed out. How many of you would say that you were probably a little stressed out and rushing around this morning just to get here? Those people with kids raise their hand, right? Yeah, absolutely. we get so busy that we're constantly in a rush. How many of you would say that you're rushing so often that slow people kind of frustrate you and get on your nerves when they're going a little too slow? Yeah, I think one of the biggest examples of that, it's a really big pet peeve of mine, and I know I talk about my issues in a car a lot with road rage or whatever, but anytime we're taking a trip and we're driving down the expressway and, you got like 5 or 6 cars or longer, like in the fast lane, we're not going anywhere. We're all kind of cruising at the same pace, but then there's some knucklehead that wants to get up behind you, ride your bumper. You're doing like 10 over the speed limit, which you shouldn't be because that's wrong. You're speeding. But anyways, we're doing 10 over the speed limit and someone's behind you riding your bumper and then they shoot over and are trying to cut you off, like just to get one more car closer to wherever their destination is, knowing that there's miles of cars that you're not going to get there any closer, but they do it, and it drives me crazy, as you can tell. Anyways, but it's an example of people just always in a rush. How many of you, when you go to the grocery store and you're going to check out, if you don't use the U-Scan, you go and you're checking out all the lines, to see which one looks like, which one's going to be the fastest, right? And then you get in it, and you're waiting there, and then as you're in that line that you picked, you're watching all the other lines to see if you made the right choice, right? How many of y'all do that? Yeah, I do that at Starbucks like quite often, where I pull in the drive-thru. I got to make a decision. Do I go in the drive-thru or do I go in? Because the drive-thru line's long, and if I choose to go in, I'm watching out that window to see that car that I would have been behind to see if I made the right choice. Or we make up these little games for our kids to, like, let's see who can get ready and brush their teeth the quickest and get out the door, right? And it's like this imaginary race to nothing, but it helps us to get there quicker, or whatever our end game is, quicker, because we're always in a rush. And sometimes it's because we wake up late, no big deal, or whatever it is, we're trying to hurry to get somewhere. But many times it's because we've taken way too much on, and we're exhausted. And we're like, man, there's just not enough time in the day. Some of us, we get so busy and we take on so many things that we're trying to do ourselves that it results in us actually just being out of it completely. Right? We get out of the game, or we're just not where we need to be. We're not truly productive because we have too much going on. For example, a few different things. Many of us, we get so busy that we're actually out of shape physically. Now, this is where my grandpa would have said, okay, Pastor, now you're meddling. But seriously, like, think about it. I mean, it's sometimes we get so busy that we're like, well, I just don't have time to eat healthy. Or I don't have time to go exercise or go to the gym because I'm just so busy. And our physical health is actually in jeopardy because of that. Or a good family meal for you is running through the drive-thru and slamming, like, you know, some fast food before you drop the kids off here or there or wherever it may be. And then you feel good about yourself because you got the side of fruit with your triple cheeseburger and large Coke as opposed to the fries. So you're like, I did good. Go me. Right? But we're so hurried that many times we're out of shape physically. Other times we're out of sorts emotionally. We're so busy, we're an emotional disaster. And we don't even have time to address it. Or we think we don't have time to address it. We would have a complete breakdown if we had time to, right? And we're out of sorts emotionally. Other times we're out of touch relationally. We get so busy that we're out of touch relationally. The people that we love the most in our lives get our second or third best because we got way too much going on. I am so guilty of this at times. That I come home from work or when I actually have some downtime, I've been so busy that I just completely tune out and shut out altogether. To the point that, you know, at times I'm there physically with my family, but emotionally I'm not investing. And it actually creates some chaos and tension in my relationships with my family when in reality it shouldn't. It leads them to question certain things about me that's not real. Well, I'm, you know, or whatever it may be, because I seem distracted or I seem that I'm just worn out, but they're getting my second best because I'm too stressed out because I got too much going on. And it's not healthy. We're out of touch relationally. Or maybe for you, it's that you're out of order spiritually. You're out of order spiritually. You say that God is, he's the Lord of your life. But again, you're too busy to really engage with him. You're too busy to connect with him. In fact, recent studies have shown that people who claim to be religious, only about 60% of them go to church, a church service, once or twice a month or less. 60%. And I don't think it's because people don't care or they don't think it's important or that they're bad people. It's just that they're too busy. They have filled so much of their life up with busyness that they can't even connect with their creator. Right? Because they've got this activity to go to on Sunday and they can't make it every Sunday. Or they have, school activity, you know, or something going on with there, or they've got yard work to do. I was pulling out of my driveway this morning, I'm like, man, I need to mow the grass. I don't want to figure out what time I'm going to do that, you know? But you have all these things that you have to do. Or maybe it's just that you're just so exhausted from the week, you're like, I just need some chill time. So I'm just going to stay home today. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to read scripture. We don't have time to do life with other people in a Bible study or a community group. We don't have time because we're too busy. But the truth is, you do have time. You do have time once you realize that you can't do it all. You weren't created to. You weren't intended to do it all. But see, we hear these things, especially in church, things like, well, God will never give us more than we can handle. So if God has given me this, then I should be able to handle it. I have to take this on. But see, that's not really what Scripture says. Scripture does tell us that God will never tempt us. We'll never or let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But Scripture never really says that God won't give us more than we can handle. And I think sometimes he does so that we know and realize that we have to rely on him. Because if we were always able to handle it ourselves, we would be pushing God away because we would think that we are the ultimate. Because we can do it all. But see, many times we have these burdens and these things that are placed upon us where God does that and uses that so that we do rely on him. That we have no other option but to trust him and rely on him to get us through or to rely on his people. Right? He puts people in our lives to help us carry these burdens or to operate and navigate through these things or to accomplish these tasks together. But we think, hey, I got this. I can do it all. And we wear ourselves out. How many of you this morning would be honest and say that at times, or at least occasionally, you feel overwhelmed, you're stressed out, you think, man, there's just not enough time in the day to do X, Y, and Z, and you feel this pressure to actually accomplish everything on your own. How many of you would say that at least at times you experience that? If that's you, hold it up and leave it there for a second. I'll make you feel uncomfortable. Some people are like, oh. Right, look around. A lot of people, a good percentage of people in here feel that way. You can put your hands down. Many of us feel this way, but I know this is not God's design for our lives. It was not his plan or his intention for us to constantly be exhausted and stressed out and overwhelmed. That's not what he created or designed us to do. I think when God looks at that, he thinks that it's dangerous for us. It's destructive. Maybe even wrong or sinful for us to constantly be exhausted and overwhelmed. And if you raised your hand today and I'm raising mine, man, we need to have an encounter with God today. We do. We need to hear from him so that we can course correct this area of our life. Because again, we were not designed to be this way, to be exhausted, to be worn out, to do it all. That's not his intention. It was not his perfect design. So we have to let that go and begin to fixate on him and follow him and rely on him and live the way that he created us to live. But see, the problem is that many of you that raised your hand, you're probably at some point in time this morning, if you've not done it already, have kind of mentally checked out. You're physically here, but you're mentally checked out because you're going through your to-do list. You're thinking of all the things that you have to do today. You're thinking of all the things you've got to do in this coming week and how you're going to accomplish it and what order you're going to do it, and you got to do this before this happens, and you're trying to layer everything together because your mind never shuts off because you've got too much on your plate. And if that's you, I'm telling you, today you just really need to quiet your mind. Relax your bodies, just kind of take a deep breath and listen to what it is that God has to say. Listen to what it is that God is speaking to you about that situation or about your busyness. In fact, scripture, when you look at Matthew chapter 11, we see Jesus has a few things to say about this. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and what? I will give you rest." Rest sounds awesome. "Come to me," Jesus says, "and I will give you rest." But how many of you, when you actually take some time to yourself to rest, feel guilty? Because you're not being productive. I do that all the time. That is 100% me every time I go on vacation. It takes at least a day or two for me to stop feeling guilty about not doing something productive. Then I fall into it and it's great. But it takes me a few days to get there. But the reality is we need rest. And the most incredible rest we can find is in God. And we need to connect with him. It's okay to say, "I can't do it all," and to acknowledge that, because that's the truth. And Jesus says, "Come to me if you're worn out and you're exhausted, and I will give you rest." And he continues and says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. There it is again. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if you don't know what a yoke is, maybe you've seen two oxen plowing a field, or a picture of it. I don't know how many people have actually maybe seen that, but you've seen a picture of it. Two oxen plowing a field, and that yoke is that wooden or steel piece that kind of joins them together, right? And the purpose is for them to go at the same pace, to be in rhythm together, to accomplish the task, to do it productively, for it not to be so much of a burden and cumbersome for one. They can do it better together in their own rhythms. And that's what Jesus is saying is that you need to be in rhythm with me. You need to be at the same pace as me. But see, we're going 50 million miles an hour charging at something, honestly, that probably doesn't even matter. And Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. It's easy, it's light. You'll have rest for your soul. And we have to learn to be in rhythms with Christ. And again, this is a struggle for me. Like, I know nothing other than for my adult life since I was 18 years old, constantly going 100 miles an hour. Whether it was, working three jobs, being a full-time student all through my undergrad, or whether it was working with the church and working at U Spiritus, and then for a while working at the church and U Spiritus and working on an MBA. And it's all I've ever known. And it's not healthy. It's not good. It's things that I have to address and things that I really need to do because, again, I'm out of sorts at times because of this. And my physical health suffers. My mental health suffers. My family suffers. And honestly, the tasks that I'm trying to accomplish suffer because I'm overstretched, overextended. Because I'm going and going and going, but I've got to have an encounter with God. And I have to heed his word and receive it and apply it in my life. That with him, I can have rest for my soul. And that I can't do it all. And when we study the life of Jesus, man, there's no one that was probably busier than Jesus. I mean, he was go, and everyone wanted to see him. Everyone wanted to just touch the hem of his garment or to speak and wanted to be healed. Anytime he was somewhere, people, crowds just came to him. And he was busy, and he was productive. But you don't really see any glimpses of him being hurried, out of sorts. He was steady. Because there's a difference in being busy. Busy's not always bad, but being hurried in your soul is. Because you can't think or do anything else if all you're thinking about is the next thing you've got to do. It's go, 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 go. And it consumes you. And it's a sickness, honestly. And it can be toxic. Because there's no rest for your soul. And there's no time for the things that really matter. But we need rest. But how do we do that? How do we operate our lives in the rhythms of Christ? How do we share that yoke that's easy and light? Well, this for the rest of our time today, I want to give you and share you with you three things that we can do with all the things in our life. Three things that we can do with all the different things that we've got going on. And the first thing that I want you to recognize is that some things in our life, man, they need to be shared. Right? Again, you can't do it all. So some things truly need to be shared. By design, they need to be shared. But see, we want to say, no, I've got this. I can do it all on my own. But honestly, they need to be shared. God will give you things that you can't do on your own. You need community. You need his people. You need people around you. In fact, I love the story Moses found in Exodus chapter 18, where he's interacting with his father-in-law and they're connecting, and his father-in-law gives him some advice, and he says, Moses, he said, what you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. His advice wasn't that you can't handle it, that you can't do it. It's just that you can't handle it or do it alone. He needed to rely on other people. He needed to rely on God, most importantly. We have to share those things. And for many of you today, what you're doing is not good. You're wearing yourself out. You're exhausted, and you don't have time for the things that really matter. See, many of us, we're good at helping other people, right? We love to help other people. I'm all about helping other people, but very rarely do I ask for help. Very rarely am I willing to receive help because I think I can do it all myself. That pride and that arrogance at times comes to the surface. I got this. I can do it. But in reality, some things are made to be shared, and we have to learn to do that, whether it be with other people. But again, most importantly, that we share these things with God, because his yoke is light. He says, come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Don't carry it yourself, because you can't. You can't do it all, and you weren't designed to. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. That doesn't say just carry everyone else's, but hold on to yours. No, we're to share equally. Carry each other's burdens. We hold each other up. This is why the local church is so important. One of the many reasons why the local church is so important. Why community and doing life together is important. Why praying together and praying for other people is important. Why studying scripture together is important. And serving together and helping each other out and having each other's backs. That's why these things are so critical and so important. Because the fact of the matter is that there are some things in your life that need and must be shared. The second thing that we see is that some things need to be stopped. I think this one's a little more difficult. This one has a few more ramifications potentially to stop certain things, but there's some things in our lives that we need to stop. I think the perfect example of this is found in Luke chapter 10. It's an account of Mary and Martha when Jesus came to their place, right? And Mary, man, she took full advantage of this situation. She was like, you know what? Jesus is here. He's a guest. And man, I'm just going to spend time with him. I'm just going to soak it all in. I don't care about anything else other than spending time with Jesus. But Martha, on the other hand, she was doing what many of us do. She's honestly doing what I would be doing. Like, oh my gosh, Jesus is coming to my house. I got to clean. I got to make sure everything looks perfect. I got to light the candles to make sure the house doesn't smell and it smells perfectly like, you know, Peach Island breeze or whatever. And it's going to smell great. And there can't be a crumb on the floor. And every pillow has to be in the right spot on the couch. I mean, just perfectionism to a T. That's what Martha was doing. And so she's freaking out. And Mary's just chilling. And so she gets frustrated, and she's like, Jesus, like, my sister's just hanging out in there, leaving me to do everything. Like, say something to her. Like, this isn't okay. Because I'm in here doing everything. And this is how Jesus responded in verse 41. And I think it speaks volumes to us today. He said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. She chose what was better. Now understand, in order for her to choose what was better, there were some things that she had to not do. She had to make the choice to not do this, to worry about the house and to clean and to rush around and do all these things. She had to choose to not do that, to do what was better, to do what was best. Therefore, there's some things that we have to stop in our lives. We have to stop doing in order to do what's best. It doesn't mean that they're wrong. It doesn't mean that they're bad or they're sinful or anything like that. It just means that maybe you need to stop doing this so you can do this thing that's better. So ask yourself this morning, if you had more time, what would you do? If you had more time, what would God have you to do? What is that thing that's in your heart that he's strategically placed there that you know he's put there for you to do? Whether you want to call it a calling or whatever, but you know God has placed that in your life, and that's one of the things that you're designed to do, but you're not doing it because you're too busy. Maybe for you it's spending more time with your kids and your spouse or your family or whatever it may be. Maybe it's joining or leading a Bible study or journaling. Maybe for some of you it's to write a book, start a blog, whatever it may be. Maybe it's for you to start volunteering at somewhere like Youth Spiritus, not a shameless plug, but Youth Spiritus does incredible work with kids that, you know, that are in need. We're all called to serve and care about those kids. But maybe it's that you need to go somewhere like that and serve and love on those kids and invest in them. I don't know what it is for you, but if you had time, what would you do? And I want you to understand today the truth. And the truth is that you do have time. You do have time. You have time for what you choose to do. It's a choice. And sometimes you have to choose to stop doing this thing to do what's better. And sometimes that's a tough decision. Sometimes that's not the decision that maybe you feel like you know is going to be the easiest. Sometimes you got to make this tough decision to do what's better. You got to fill in that time block with something else. But see, one of the challenges is our culture that we live in today really shares the opposite, teaches us the opposite, pushes us to stay on the grind, right? The daily grind, the exhaustion, it's just normal life. It's what you got to do to stay ahead. And it's pushing us to that and pushing us to that. But honestly, we have to slow down and figure out, okay, what do we have to stop doing to do what's better? Not just add more and more and more to the to-do list, but what do we need to just remove from the to-do list? I heard someone once call it your to-don't list. What are the things you're going to stop doing, what you're not going to do, so that you can do what's better? There's some things that we have to stop. We really need to seek those things out. Psalms chapter 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Some people love solitude. Some people absolutely thrive off that. Others of us don't. Thinking about being still is terrifying for me because I'm always going. But the reality is sometimes we have to stop and be still and connect with God. Know that he is God. Know that he is good. Know that he has created you as his masterpiece. And those things that he's placed in your heart to do that you cannot kick, no matter how far you try to run from it, you try, it's always there. That's what's better, because that's what he's placed in your life. And sometimes we have to stop certain things to do what it is that he has created us to do. To do what's better. So some things need to be shared. Some things need to be stopped. And the third and final thing is that everything needs to be surrendered. Everything needs to be surrendered to God. Psalm 62, verse 1 says, "Truly, my soul finds rest in God." Not in vacations, though they're great. Not in a new house, which I'm sure that's phenomenal. Or in a new car, or in a new outfit, or whatever it may be for you. No, your soul finds true rest in God and in God alone. That's it. In God. Psalms 55, verse 22 says, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you." Cast your cares. You see, we have not even only the privilege and the opportunity, but we have the directive to cast our cares on God, our burdens, our stressors, our fears, everything, to cast it to him. He will sustain you. Not you will sustain you, which we all try to do, typically fail miserably. We're going to fail, but sometimes it's failing miserably. But he will sustain you. But yet we try to sustain ourselves. We try to do it all. We try to carry our own burdens when we are told, give them up. That should be the easiest thing we do. Like, read that, like, okay, cool, boom, there you go. But we want to hold on to it because we think we can and we think we should do it all. I heard this story once. It's a kind of a silly example, but I think it really breaks down in a different way what we actually do when it comes to God. There was a guy that had a huge like sack of potatoes that he was carrying down the road, and a guy pulled up in a pickup truck beside him and was like, "Hey man, I'm going up to the next town. Why don't you jump in the back with your potatoes? Because I'm sure those are super heavy, and I'll take you to the next town." He's like, "Cool, that'd be great." So the dude hops up in the back of the truck, but while he's sitting in the back of the truck, he's still got the potatoes holding them on his shoulders, right? On his shoulder, like while he's riding down the road. Dude hollers back like, "Hey, why don't you sit the potatoes down? You don't have to carry them. Just sit them down in the truck. We're going, I got you." And the guy's like, "No, you're being kind enough to give me a ride to the next place. I couldn't ask you to carry the sack of potatoes also." Right? It makes no sense. Goofy example. But that's exactly what we do with God. We'll say, "Yes, I will receive your gift of salvation. Thank you so much for making me right before the Father. Thank you for taking my sins, my guilt and my shame upon yourself and dying for me and raising again. Thank you for doing all those things, but I couldn't dare ask you to take my burdens. I got those. You've done too much. I'll carry these things." It's the same thing, and we need to give those up. We have to surrender everything. Because the truth is we can't do it all. Weren't designed to. Wasn't God's intention. Because some things need to be shared. Some things need to be stopped, and everything has to be surrendered. And I know this is important, because almost everybody in here raised their hand earlier when I asked how many of you all are overwhelmed at times. You feel stressed. You feel the pressure to do and to perform and to do it all. Almost every single one of us raised our hand. But see, we need an encounter with God today to course correct that. Begin to give him our burdens. Cast our cares on him and let him sustain us. So my final question for you this morning is, what major change do you need to make? What major change in your life do you need to make? And note that I said major change. And I think probably most of your initial thought was, well, maybe I don't really need to make a major change. Maybe it's just kind of something a little small here and there. But the reality is, if it was just a minor tweak that had to be made to free you up, you probably would have already done that by now. If it was small and an easy tweak, you all would have taken care of that at some point in time. So what major change do you need to make? Maybe for you it's a different job, and I know that's not easy, and that's tough. But maybe that's what you need to stop or where you need to transition. Maybe for you it's that you just need to really sit down and set some hardcore boundaries with your job. One of the things that I've had to do, and it's kind of ridiculous, but it's a boundary that I did, and it's a mental thing, shift for me, is I don't take my work keys from Youspiritus into my house, but I don't take my house keys into work. It's just a mental thing that, you know, physical thing that helps me mentally, but it's a boundary that I've laid out. Some of maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to go get some counseling for something. Whatever it may be. Maybe it's because you're a workaholic and you can't let go. And your family's suffering for it. Your mental health, your physical health, your whole life is suffering because of it. Maybe you need to kind of back off the hobby a little bit. Trust me, I have a hobby. I love it. But man, it can't consume you. Maybe that's the thing you need to stop so that you can do what's better. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what that major change is, but what I do know is that Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Cast your cares upon him, and he will sustain you." That we're to be in rhythm with him, to take on his yoke, because it's light, it's easy. Be in rhythm with God. It's the best place for you to be. Doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect, but it means he'll sustain you. It means that he'll carry you through because you're walking at the same pace and in rhythms with the Creator, the one who loves you, the one who died for you, who gave it all for you, the one who wants to take on all your cares, all your worries, all your burdens, and relieve you of that. Because you weren't designed to carry it alone. So today, I challenge you, figure out what it is that you need to change to get rid of that hurriedness in your soul, to be free in Christ, to gain that necessary margin that you need to do what's better. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much today for your love, for your mercy. God, for the fact that you gave everything, even your son for us, so that we could be made right, so that we could be made whole again, so that we don't have to carry all of our burdens, all of our stressors. God, that we don't have to carry that because you said to cast that on you. Because you're that good, God, and we are so thankful. And God, may we as individuals and may we as a church receive that truth today. Not just in our minds, not just in our words, God, but through our lives and through our actions and how we live. May we live this out every day, God. May we understand that we can't do it all. That's a hard concept for some of us to grasp, God, but may we understand that. And may we fully rely on you and the people that you have placed in our lives to surrender all things, God. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you've never truly encountered Christ. You've never come into a personal relationship with him as your Savior. Maybe you've been checking out the things of Christ, you know, his word, and you've been coming to church, you've been talking to other believers, watching believers, whatever it may be, but you've never stepped over that line of faith, but you feel that pull. You know that there's something missing in your life, and you've tried to fill that gap with busyness or whatever it may be. Know that God is the only thing that can fill that gap. And he sent his son to die for you. Raise again so that you could be made right before the Father. The scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. It's about receiving him, fully surrendering to him with your heart. It's not some prayer, it's not some words. It's not attending this or that or doing this or that. It's just calling out to him, confessing and believing in him, trusting him as your Lord and Savior. And if that's you this morning, man, just call out to him however he leads. Just confess and believe. If you want to talk with someone about that, we'll have some of our leadership team up here at the front as Mike plays here in a second. Man, but don't delay on that. Don't hold off on that decision. If you still have questions, you still have thoughts, man, that's cool. We want you to keep coming to LifePoint Church. You're welcome here and we love you. But I encourage you, man, to give that up to Christ today, to give him your life, confess and believe. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. But maybe you're here and you are a Christ follower. I mean, you're just exhausted because you're trying to do it all and you're so busy, you're so overwhelmed. Today, cast those cares and those burdens to him. He will sustain you. His yoke is easy and light. And you can walk in rhythm with him. And I promise you, as that happens, those major changes that need to be made will become easier. You'll see the fruit of that because he's sustaining you, not you, but God is sustaining you. So lay that down at his feet today. However it is that God's leading you today, you do business with him as Mike leads. God, again, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. God, I pray for each and every person here, Lord, that we would just cast our cares upon you, God. I pray for those that may not know you as their Lord and Savior, God, that they would confess and believe today, that they would give you their heart and their life, that they would receive that gift of salvation. God, I pray for each person today, Lord, that you would bless them. Speak to them, and may we as people be responsive to your call and your leading. And we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.